Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and hearts and minds to heaven.
Easy right, for you to say.
Draw upon the wisdom of the saints, right, to help us to navigate the craziness of this life. And we're ending the series. It's actually two series in a row on marriage. The first one was Givenness. Mm-hmm. Which will be available soon on a playlist somewhere, but just
It is available.
It's already available. Mm-hmm. So is it on spiritualdirection.com?
Is
YouTube?
It spiritualdirection.com? YouTube. What is that? Do you know what it is? Producer woman. Okay. Well. Okay, so we're going to find it and we're going to put it in the show notes because I know it exists because mm-hmm. it's been sent to me.
Oh, okay.
And I've already shared it.
Perfect.
But I do want to make one adjustment to it anyway. So there you go.
Yeah.
So we'll just make the adjustment, then post it and make it live and put it in the show notes.
So we have that series. And then this has been a series of kind of describing our divine intimacy and marriage retreat, some of the key elements of it. Not, mm-hmm. of course,
just a little bit.
A huge portion left out because you need to come to the retreat. And if you're wanting to get on one of these retreats, it's at spiritualdirection.com/events. And thanks be to God, every time we have them, they fill up. And we're grateful to be heading off to another one this coming February. But this is the last in this series. Mm-hmm. And then who knows what we'll be talking about next, because we got to figure something out, don't we?
Lord always provides.
That's right. So what I wanted to talk about today is the single disposition that changes everything in marriage. Now, I have a question. I'm going to ask it in advance and then we'll deal with it in the process. But is it universally true that it will always affect both husband and wife, even if they're not on the same page spiritually? So don't answer that now, because we got to reveal it.
Yeah, you might want to reframe that question. Is what true?
Well, that's what I said.
If
you would just listen.
We need to do speaker listener technique.
Right.
Yeah, feedback loops.
We did that on the last one. I re-listened to it. Actually, okay. It was pretty good. So it's in John chapter 13. And it's a very powerful encounter with Jesus that his disciples had that shocked them, scandalized them,
yeah,
and caused tension, you know, in the room.
And I want to say that, you know, we look at that and go, oh, yeah, because we've heard the story a million times. Mm-hmm. What happened, what you're about to read, was a shock.
Yeah.
It sent a shockwave through their little band of brothers.
Yeah.
Because nobody did this. Nobody.
Yeah.
It wasn't the proper understanding of proper masculinity.
Etiquette, who Jesus was.
Etiquette, yeah. You know, whatever it is, right?
Yeah.
Social norms.
Yeah.
Completely shattered all of that. So it's really important that we understand just how radical this was when he did it.
So it says, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave his this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped the towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. And of course, then the scuffle in the room. Peter's like, Lord, you're not washing my feet. What are you doing? Jesus says, you know, do you not realize now what I am doing? You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you will not wash my feet. You know, Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Peter's like, yeah, everything, you know. Here's the point, and this is hard. It's very hard for Americans. I mean, just modern people in general, because when you think of what they thought of Jesus, like who he was, if you could think of going into, whether you like him or not, or pick any world leader you want, but we'll pick Donald Trump, president of the United States. And so just forget your visceral feelings about him, good or bad even. But he's the president of the United States. What would happen if you're at the dinner table and at some point he goes out, changes and puts on an apron or whatever, and then begins to walk around the table and take off your shoes, each person's shoes, and wash their feet? It would melt your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You would.
And just to be clear, you're not comparing Jesus to Donald Trump.
Not a whit.
Not even. So just. So for anybody who just short circuited, that is not what Dan is saying.
I said,
he's just talking about the what it would do to your mind to be somewhere where you're just, you know, you're hanging on every word. It's something important.
There's someone who's very powerful.
Somebody very powerful.
Yeah.
You know, somebody that you're following would do that. Now that's just on the secular level.
Right.
This was a whole nother thing.
Right.
Because he was the Messiah.
Yeah.
So then you add a spiritual level to this. Yeah. This is my Lord and my God. Mm-hmm. We're to follow him. He's the King of Israel. He's going to make everything right.
Yeah.
He's going to save us. He's going to set us free from our captives. Right. How do you even get your mind around that? I mean, I just had this thought of like, if Maggie all of a sudden got up, our producer, and came over with a wash bin and an apron and knelt before me, I'd go,
What are you doing?
You know, like I could not let her touch my feet. I'd go, no, you know, because there's something incredibly intimate in letting somebody touch your feet.
Well, and wash. I mean, it happened to me one time when I was a Protestant, and I hated Catholicism, and I don't know if I hated Catholics, but I was very anti-Catholic in general. And a Catholic that I worked with was leaving, and she put us up on these chairs in front of everyone. And I have this in a story you can find out on the YouTube. The title is A Cult to Catholic, which I didn't name it, but it's had like 175,000 views or something like that.
Yeah, it's really great.
But I tell the full story there. But anyway, it was a coworker who was leaving, and there are people that had affected her life while she was there. And I was one of them, even though I was opposed to her because she was Catholic. And she took off my shoes and washed my feet. And it was so shocking to me. It just changed how I viewed her, because before I was opposed to her. I mean, she was a nice person and all, but I was just kind of like, yeah, you should leave, you know, oh, you're leaving. Okay, good. You know, and after I'm going, what just happened?
Right.
Like
right.
That woman is a better person than me, you know, just all. And I mean, if I talked about it more, I would weep. It was just such a visceral experience. So all I'm trying to do with like the Trump analogy, and you brought up our producer and all that, is just, it's so hard to understand how powerful this was.
Yeah.
And he did it to teach us something. You know, one of the most powerful, gut-wrenching, scripture reflections on scripture that I ever read was on this passage. And the writer said, if God would stoop to wash the feet of his disciples, including
Judas,
his betrayer.
Yeah.
Who are you
to refuse?
To refuse.
Right. Right.
To care for anybody in the same way.
Right.
And in doing so, in refusing, you are placing yourself above God. And I just went, I was like, you know, cosmic punch in the gut. I read this 25, 30 years ago. And it's still, I can remember the book and the pages and, you know, looking at and just go. And I went, oh, you know, like I'm undone.
Right.
I am going to hell. I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, because there's a good number of people that I wouldn't wash their feet.
Yeah.
I'm not going to forgive them. I am not going to serve them. You can't make, this is not, you know, and all of that came to the surface and I realized, yeah. And you having that position means you're placing yourself above God himself.
Right.
So here's our point. And when, you know, we're coming up to the break, but we tell the attendees is if this needs to be your disposition, you need to worry about you. And you need to be like Jesus, even though it's very difficult, and you can't. But if you take this, if you dispositionally receive this call, because he did it to show us how to treat one another.
Right.
If you dispositionally choose this as your primary reflex, if you will, in your marriage, everything changes.
And I mean everything. You will set off a cataclysmic, earth-shattering, volcanic level of grace in your marriage. And I mean in a way that you never expected, ever expected. So when I think when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about this and say, like, what does that mean? How do I even begin to do this? Because, like, you don't know what he's done. You don't know what she's done.
Right.
Right. You don't understand this, you know, the spouse he gave me.
Right.
And how I'm suffering in this marriage. And I'm ready to call it quits. I'm ready for this to be the end. Right.
And boy, we've heard that over and over.
Right.
And we've heard the list. And it never gets new because we've heard everything.
Yeah. And I think even more importantly, because of our history, we've lived it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been there. We know what it is to be there. And I mean, I even like would weep if I actually thought about it too much. But I know that that's why we were called marriage ministry, because of what he's done to us. So for us, in us,
out of darkness
into the light. So we're here to testify to the power of it. To this healing, to this disposition of heart that changes everything. So when we get back from the break, we'll talk a little bit more about it.
We'll be right back. Hey, friends. New course, not a brand new course, but a course that's being offered again. And the reason it's being offered again is because it always fills up. And it's called A Road to Self-Awareness and Healing. Dr. Ian Murphy, we actually had him on the show.
I am hearing so many great things about this just over and over again. They're like, wow, this is amazing. He's amazing.
Yeah. So he wrote a book for Sophia Institute Press called The Road to Self-Awareness, a therapy book for Christians. And he didn't write the book from the standpoint of having everything, you know, perfectly lined up, but he does tell his story and it's quite humorous at times and interesting, but it's very powerful. And he's really has some great wisdom from working through his own junk and coming to realize who he really is in many ways, and then getting healing and then helping others to do the same. So if you're interested in this course, head out to abola-institute.org, abola-institute.org, and sign up and you will be blessed. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're finishing our series on divine intimacy and marriage. If you are blessed by our conversation, go out and subscribe to spiritualdirection.com. The website itself, there's a revamp of the website coming soon, which we're excited about. It may have already been done by the time this show airs. But a lot of new resources, easier to find resources, that sort of thing. And then also YouTube, our YouTube page, spiritualdirection.com, and it'll have this series and a previous one we did on givenness. So we're ending the series with the disposition that should be the normative disposition for a husband and normative disposition for a wife that changes everything. And of course, the model, which we've been talking about out of John 13, is Jesus washing the feet of his disciples.
Yeah.
And the disposition is, how can I serve you?
Yeah. How can I serve you?
Yeah.
How can I, you know, that should be like written on a sticky note and, mm-hmm. you know, by your sink, on your phone, mm-hmm. your nightstand in the kitchen, you know, by your computer in your workspace is, how can I serve you?
And a lot of folks so don't understand how to do that, actually.
They've never lived it.
Right. And
they've
so that's what it. We teach in the retreat. And everyone leaves with a binder, if you will, of specific things that they can do that they learned in the retreat. Husband can do, wife can do. And we open up the attendees' minds and hearts to new avenues of ways that they can serve one another, and even just how to do it at a fundamental level. And I, you know, just thinking of me, you know, if you put a guy on a scale of Neanderthal to, I don't know what the upper end of the scale would be.
Jesus.
Renaissance man. Neanderthal
no, Jesus.
To Renaissance man or Jesus. You know, I started the whole marriage world as a Neanderthal. And meaning I grew up in a context where I just never had it modeled to me how people should talk to one another. Yeah. How they should love one another, how they can give and forgive. So we deal with the foundational elements, like really simple, basic stuff that maybe a lot of our audience would know. But I'll never forget my favorite quote from our friend Joe was, I never knew there were so many ways that I could love you, he said to his wife, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's and they have a very good marriage. So
that just keeps getting better. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful to see what's happening.
It's with them. Yeah, the Lord is really working, which is quite extraordinary. So the point being, we'll teach you, of course, we've talked about a lot of ways in the series, like the speaker listener technique and not allowing the enemy to get in. At the end of every marriage retreat as well, we offer a 5-week course mm-hmm. on discernment of spirits in marriage, where we talk about how to navigate spiritual warfare. But back to the point, that if I choose to take take the position of how can I serve you rather than why aren't you doing what I want you to do, mm-hmm. everything changes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the thing is we enter into marriage really quite naively, I think, for most people. Mm-hmm. I really do think it's most people, even though they're trying to be purposeful, we kind of fall into marriage mm-hmm. often, and there's not a lot of thought into like what qualities this person have, what is their history, mm-hmm. you know, what kind of formation did they have, human formation, spiritual formation, financial formation, you mm-hmm. know, parental formation. Yeah. It's like, you know, and you often start by kind of attracting people mm-hmm. that have your similar wounds,
right.
you know, like your wounds and my
relationships
wounds.
You're trying to repair from the past.
Right. And you, that's why people come to the realization of like, oh my Lord, I married my father.
Right.
I'll never marry somebody like my father. And then they marry somebody just like their
right.
father.
Or with key attributes.
Or you know, or their brother or their uncle or their ex-boyfriend and vice versa,
right.
that men will often marry their mothers,
yeah.
you know, or they're seeking to repair that relationship or whatever. And so then when we come to that, there's this, and all the kind of newness starts to float away and everybody's not on their best behavior anymore. Mm-hmm. And the roses stop and the mm-hmm. love songs that get sent via text stop. And, mm-hmm. you know, the purposeful
flowers
pursuit,
haven't stopped here,
no, the pursuit, you know, of the other stops,
mm-hmm. yeah.
then the reality of life comes in, the difficulties, the challenges, right? And that can set off in our spouse their wounds, their mm-hmm. brokenness, their failings, their imperfections, all the ways that they fall short of the glory of God, right? Mm-hmm. Or all the ways that we fall short of the glory of God. And when you come to that place in the other, you can do one of two things. You can withdraw, self-protect, turn away. You're not talking the way I want you to talk. You're not mm-hmm. acting the way I want you to talk. You're being rude to me. You're impatient. You're harsh. you know, you're a puddle of a mess. You're not a man. You're not the woman I married, you know, whatever, right? We can reach that point and either withdraw to protect, self-protect, lick our wounds, you know, self-inebriate, or we can choose the disposition of the heart of my beloved is ill. My beloved is hurting. My beloved is suffering.
Wounded.
Wounded, broken, and I want to wash their feet. Because if I wash their feet, then I can look into that place. I can accompany them. I can meet them in that and be a healing balm, to be a bridge over which truth can pass, to bring peace to that moment so that we can come together and fight those battles together rather than separate.
Yeah. Yeah. The determinant of whether or not somebody actually is going to do well after retreat, we always know the primary determinant. And that is, if someone is going, yeah, I've got my plan, I'm going to follow my plan, I'm going to do what I can do, they're going to be fine. If someone at the, you know, after the last session is saying, but you don't know, but what if they do this? But what if they do that?
What if my husband does X? What if he says Y? Right. What if she says X? What if she says Y?
You know, likelihood they're going to make it is not very good.
Yeah.
Because they haven't transitioned out of, I'm hurting, you need to change, you need to stop doing this or start doing that too. This is my responsibility. God's placed you in my life. You are the spouse. I have you because I need you for my salvation.
And that's really a key thing that people don't often remember or understand, is that I'm married to you because your qualities, your dispositions, your brokenness, your wonderfulness, your wretchedness, all of you mm-hmm. is what I need in order to become perfectly selfless,
right?
To become another Christ.
Right. And you know what's interesting about that? What you need isn't always an affirmation of your good.
Oh, no.
It's a rubbing against your rough edges.
Challenging.
To reveal them.
Yeah.
Right. What you need, and it reminds me of St. John of the Cross's discussion of what the purpose of the monastery or the convent is. It's for a chiseling. Mm-hmm. It's for a breaking. It's to bring us to humility because of the context of humanity with us in that world, and how we end up. This is the same with marriage.
It is exactly the same in marriage. It's exactly the same.
Yeah.
But that's radical. It's extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's really self-denying. It's a type of ascesis that is not readily experienced out in the world. We just, most people don't even know what that is, right?
Well, and you know, it's the reason, in my opinion, it's very hard to make progress in holiness as a single person. Who I think that if you're single, the two contexts that God has called you to, you've got to get to one or the other, marriage or to religious life. Because outside of marriage or religious life, you don't have that context where you're forced in this intimate way to deal with all your junk, and you can sort of hide out on the outside. That's not a criticism of single people at all. It's just saying, don't linger in that. If you're of age, don't linger in that state, because if you want to grow in holiness, pursue. I mean, there's a lot of other reasons to pursue that we should anyway. Either religious life or marriage, but marriage is that refining fire.
Yeah. And in the end, the Lord tells us, pick up your cross and follow me.
Right.
Pick up your cross. And one of the things that we've said in the marriage retreat, you know, somebody said, well, what if the cross looks like my wife, you know, is my wife?
Oh no. So it was asked a different way than that. And it was a very powerful moment during the retreat. So I shouldn't have said, oh no, I want to say yes. There was a powerful moment, because I think I was the one that had the question, or was it you?
No, it was somebody in the crowd.
Asked
They sent in a question, mm-hmm. and they said, what if my cross is my spouse?
Who'd they ask you? That was what I'm trying to get to. Did you have it or did I have it?
I think you gave it to me because you were afraid to answer it. And I kind of laughed and I said, well, your cross is your wife. I said, my cross looks like Dan Burke and has a beard.
And there was a, like a, oh, in the room. It was funny.
Yeah. I mean, like, you are my cross.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and I am your cross. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very true. And so when we approach marriage that way and we understand this is going to be a chiseling, this is where the rubber meets the road, this is where I'm going to be challenged beyond my own passions, brokenness, flesh, you know, my opinions, my emotions, all of that, beyond all that, I am going to be brought into who I'm called to be if I choose to pick up my cross and follow him and have that disposition of heart where I wash your feet. And in the most difficult moments, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, whether it's brokenness, whether it's suffering, whether it's sinfulness, whether it's just weakness, and I say, I love you. How can I serve you in this? How can I draw you closer to me and closer, more importantly, to the Lord and to the healing that he wants to give us both?
And the opposite is to say, I don't want the cross sword. I'm putting it down.
Yeah.
And that's divorce.
Yeah.
And when you put down the cross and you choose divorce, you're rejecting the way the Lord has brought you. I'm not talking about abuse in those kinds of cases. That's a different conversation. But I'm just talking about normal marital difficulties.
Right.
When you say no, and I want a divorce, and you're going to leave. It's what you're saying to Jesus is, nope, I reject your plan.
I reject your cross. I don't want this.
And here's the hard part. You're just going to replay.
Yeah.
If you don't deal with the junk you have now and the situation you have now, it's just going to come back.
Yeah.
Why? Because the Lord loves you. He's going to give you another opportunity.
Yeah.
All right. So we hope this series has been a blessing to you. Pray for us. We'll be praying for you. We have a book on the way about all of this that we're slowly working on. I think we'll be done in the next 20 years or so. But you don't have to wait for the book. You can come to a marriage retreat. Go out to spiritualdirection.com/events and you'll find what's available.
Okay. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.